Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back, and we have with us Linda Tyes from the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. Linda, we have to keep on this between now and November. I mean, we have to strategize. We've got to get the people out there. They don't realize, let me tell you something. If they don't, if they fail, you know, if they do not rise up this time, we cannot let them be confused by the opposition again, aren't they? But, you know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. If people refuse to fight and stand up, then they all deserve what they'll get. And so we have to really be hard on this. All you folks out there listening to us, not just in Ohio, but from around the country, we're going to be, we don't have the billions and billions of dirty, dark money that they have out there to pour into here. We have us. And the people really have to sit down and evaluate what their freedom is worth to them, don't they?
You bet they do. And a lot of your listeners from all over the country can really help by praying like crazy about this for Ohio. And if they want to be of help in any way, we've got something that we're setting up right now that they could plug into, and they could help with it even from any distance. We're going to be setting things up in precincts, especially in the rural counties here, because we have 50 of our 88 counties in Ohio are rural, and that's like 62.5%. And if we get those folks out to vote, then they can offset the numbers that we have in the city sometimes. So we're trying to find people who are willing to work within precincts. And we've got it all set up through Mark Harrington, some of you know, with Created Equal, who does a fabulous job going around the country with the big Teletrons and the pictures that they take onto high school and college campuses. He's one of our member organizations out of Columbus. And he's putting together a whole plan through, it's called I-360, and Susan B. Anthony is using it tonight. They knocked on over 200,000 doors for issue one, and they're continuing to work to do that for November 7th. But we can all do that and join them, too, by just putting that app on our phone. And so Seth Dreyer over at Created Equal is going to be doing Zoom calls to explain that to people. And Mark swears to me that it is a piece of cake, that it just, all you've got to have is your phone. You don't have to have a whole book of addresses to go walking door to door like you used to have. You don't have to have lists of phone numbers. It's all right there in this app in whatever precinct you're working in. And you can do that from anywhere at your leisure, which is great. So I'm going to give you, and we'll do it again later if we can, but if anybody's interested at all in helping with any of that, you just go to Seth, it's S-E-T-H, at createdequal.org, and just let him know that you are interested in helping on this. We are really calling out to people all across the nation to help, because Ohio sets the pace for this nationwide. We're the only ones doing this year, and we know that there are 8 to 12 other states ready to try and do it again next year, and they're all watching to see what happens here. So what happens in Ohio is going to determine not only how Ohio is going to be affected, but it will affect the entire nation. So the pressure is on us right now, and we can use all the help we can get. If you've got people from around the nation who are nearby us, not too far, and they want to come into Ohio, we'll find a place for them to stay if they'd like, and we'll make sure that's a place where they can stay and be comfortable and help work on any of this. So any pro-lifers from anywhere who would like to help, we could plug you in, and please do be praying, though, like crazy for us, because there's so much that has to be done in like 78 or 79 days now. And I mean, it's not something that's going to go on for another year or two that we can keep working and working and working towards building this army. We've got to do it quickly. And you know, we were talking about this last weekend about how in scripture, so many times they were surrounded. They felt like there was no way. And I mean, you look through Psalm, we feel like we should write our own Psalm here about what's going on in Ohio, because we are surrounded by all the big dark money and by all of the pro-aborts who have no moral conviction about this. I mean, it's all about the money and it's all about the control for them. They're on a totally different plane than we are. And so we are surrounded by all of this, but our God is bigger. He's awesome. And so if people are praying for us and sending messages to the Holy Spirit to please, please work with the people in Ohio, then we can set the pace for the entire nation here within just less than 80 days. It's an amazing feat, but it can be done. I believe it can be done. But we just have to keep praying, and we have to plug in, and we're action-oriented. That's why we started Right to Life Action Coalition. We want to be active to make sure that we're standing for the Lord, standing in the gap to protect his families.
All right. Prayer is where we start. That's an offensive weapon. The Lord Jesus was the best example. He showed us he prayed, and then he raised people from the dead. He prayed, and then he fed 5,000. He prayed, and then he acted. And that's what we have to do. We have to start out and with fervent prayer, and then put feet to those prayers. But we are required. Now, it tells you, and 366 times in the Bible, it says, fear not, fear not.
Not.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing that we are to fear is God. That's what we're to fear, God. And that's having a healthy reverence for our Lord and Savior. But other than that, we are to charge. I mean, we are to run to this battle. And folks, you have to listen. If you fail to do that, if you fail to run to this battle, all of this will be brought upon you. If you say, well, won't somebody do something? You've got to be the somebody this time. You've got to be the somebody. Okay. So, Linda.
Exactly. I want to add something. People have to understand that this is spiritual warfare. We are in the middle of a communist revolution. They are trying to foment a revolution on this country, take it over politically. The left has gotten so brave that they've weaponized agencies in the federal government. They're doing things that would just have been unheard of 10, 15 years ago because, well, they see the church as being apathetic, ignorant, like that one church, oh, don't get involved in politics. Keep your nose, put your head in the sand. Don't see what's going on. The enemy is conducting warfare, spiritual. It's conducting political, economic. It is in an all-or-nothing battle. They are planning on winning, taking control of the nation. This is all-or-nothing. And if the people do not stand now, it's going to be over in a year or two. There won't be a constitutional republic. We will be a socialist democracy. And once you've lost something like freedom, look at scripture. It takes a long, long time. Look at the history of the world. It takes forever.
Yeah, Joe, I'm going to.
It's even possible to get freedom back.
I wanted to tell the folks again one more time. And then, Linda, we're going to be playing a clip here. This clip is about what took place there in Maui, and I watched this. I was watching the films as the fires started, and these fires burned in a perfect, huge circle. You had to see this to believe it, and then you could see, this was all being filmed, ships way out at sea catching fire, no place near the shore, and so it was very, very clear on what has taken place. This is where high power energy units that were energy weapons that were being microwave weapons and laser weapons that were being used. But anyhow, before we go there, I want you want to listen to this and then do some commentary on it, and we'll be back. Before I do it, I want to say one more time that tomorrow, that NOACA meeting, folks, is going to be held tomorrow at 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Federated Church. The Federated Church is by no means a Christian church at all. They would not have NOACA in there. But the address is 16349, 16349. You need to go show up out there. You need to show up and let them very clearly know you don't want NOACA in our county. You want to keep them out of our county. We don't want them here in this county. there's a whole lot of reasons. Believe me, they're anti-God, anti-family. They're New World Order. They're involved with the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum. You don't want them here in this county. They're dark and they're dirty. And so, anyhow, we're going to play a clip now, and this has to do with Maui, and this has to do with a number of billionaires. Well, go ahead, Kyle, and take her away.
Oprah Winfrey investigated from the Maui fire? Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. In today's video, we're going to be taking a look about why people are asking for Oprah Winfrey to be investigated for the Maui, Hawaii fires, and many more things that are going on behind the scenes that will leave you either raising your eyebrow or pointing your finger. Be sure to watch until the very end to see some things you certainly will not want to miss.
And at some point, I will make a major donation after all of the smoke and ashes have settled here and we figure out what the rebuilding is going to look like. This is going to be a long and difficult process.
Oprah has been one of the top trending topics on Twitter this week, and we're looking into why that is. Let's start off with Matt Wallace's viral tweet that said, Oprah Winfrey has been buying up land in Maui like crazy. A 520-acre plot for $3.89 million this year, 330 acres for $2.47 million, two 10-acre swaths of land for $100,000 each last year. In the last few years, she has gone from about 100 acres of land in Maui to over 1,000 acres. Then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a fire comes and destroys many homes near her, but her land remains untouched. Sound familiar? In 2017, an extremely deadly fire destroyed many homes near Oprah's Montecito mansion, but her property remained untouched. After 2017, Oprah continued expanding her land in Montecito to over 70 acres, including buying a 4-acre complex in 2019 that was destroyed by mudslides only a few weeks after that 2017 fire. Wake up! Oprah's CBS media crew was denied entry into a Hawaiian wildfire shelter. However, someone inside captured footage of Oprah handing out supplies for displaced Maui residents.
She came.
Now, Wallace also tweeted, locals in Maui were refusing to sell their land to the elites. The part of the island mainly destroyed by the fires was prime area right next to lavish mega mansions. Now, a lot of those locals are forced to sell their land, and many tragically died in the flames. Oprah Winfrey has a luxury mansion in Maui. It's completely fine. Jeff Bezos has a luxury mansion in Maui. It's completely fine. Lady Gaga has a luxury mansion in Maui. It's completely fine. Bill Gates has a luxury mansion in Maui. It's completely fine. Morgan Freeman has a luxury mansion in Maui. It's completely fine. Will Smith has a luxury mansion in Maui. It's completely fine. Julia Roberts has a luxury mansion in Maui. It's completely fine. How did the fire know to avoid the most expensive mansions? Wake up! There are many theories circulating as to what exactly happened in Maui, with evidence pointing to the fact that it could have been people with government ties. On the other end, there are also allegations that this was actually done by people who didn't want tourists in Hawaii, natives of Hawaii who want to try to get rid of the rich people who are taking all of the oceanfront land. Another theory is that this was a land grab by the wealthy.
So what I think is going on in Hawaii is exactly what's going on in Alberta. There are land grabs. Hawaii is very small, has a small amount of land available, especially for millionaires and billionaires. that have houses in these areas that want to keep building. So the easiest way, instead of offering people money for their homes, is to just burn the entire place down and pretty much burn people out of their area. They did that in Alberta here to try and get people into 15-minute cities, and I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing in Maui. Now, why am I saying that? Well, I did a video on the Epstein flight log list, exposed everybody that was on the flights, and I also put up classified documents that were from the Ghislaine Maxwell court case, and then I even put up her flight log. So not just Epstein's flight logs, but her flight logs that were released in court as well. People went absolutely wild. The video went super viral. Some people were super mad at me because their movie stars were on Epstein Island. But if you look at the correlation of the people who are on Epstein Island and the people who own houses on Maui, you're going to see a huge correlation. And these people do not stop at anything, and they want more land so they can keep building their entire houses bigger. Now, the only reason I know this is I went to Hawaii, I think 13 years ago, and talking to the locals, they were all complaining about the same thing. Overdevelopment, developers coming in and trying to take homes of regular people for way under the asking price, and then building like multi-million dollar or billion dollar hotels, homes on that land. So what people started doing is they won't take any offer from any developer. So what's another way of getting people off of their land is to burn it, scorch it, or make it literally non-livable on. And I think that's what's happening in Hawaii. Whether it was done on purpose with DEWs or, you know, other forms of silent weapons, or if it was done by one of these NPC crazy people who believe in global warming, yet they don't really understand that the billionaires and the millionaires are still taking private jets. They have cruise ship size private yachts. They're not stopping eating meat. They're not stopping flying around the world. So, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of people out there that will believe the agenda and then try and push it. But I think this is a lot deeper, kind of like in Alberta. And I truly feel for the people in Hawaii.
Daniel Zek shared this tweet that said, "From what I'm gathering, lots of Maui residents believe the fire was a deliberate attack and land grab by the U.S. government, ultimately backed by the WEF and its plans for Agenda 2030, snatching sacred land from sacred people under the guise of environmental protection and conservation, moving populations towards specified urban centers." Now, take a look at this viral tweet and video. This fire thing on Maui doesn't add up. How did all the boats on the water burn as well, and there's a perfect circle of fire around the city? Let's take a look at the included video. Take a real close listen to what Governor Josh Green of Hawaii had to say about the fire.
"It does appear like a bomb and fire went off. It does appear like a bomb and fire went off. Be a new Lahaina in its own image, its own values. It's going to be billions of dollars."
Another thing, what are the chances that the police chief of Maui, John Pelletier, just so happened to be the incident commander for the Las Vegas shooting in 2017? Food for thought. A Hawaii fire survivor and a first-hand witness spoke out saying this was not a natural disaster.
"This was not a natural disaster. This was a direct energy attack on the people and the place of Maui. If you know what lives there, what descendants live there, you know why. And you know why it happened on 8/8. They came in and they took control. There were trees standing and the buildings gone. This system This weather system came in from the mountains, from the east. That does not happen. They were not telling people anything. They were not letting people in to help. And they were letting people go in to get burned alive. There were people burning alive in the streets. There were people dead in the water. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of people that died. What they're telling you in the news is not true, and I lived it firsthand.
There certainly seems to be quite a number of people uploading videos with similar messages.
I live on Maui. The media is lying and or covering up the extent of the damage and the death count. I personally know people that are telling me that death and destruction is way worse than we're being told. I am witnessing the cover-up by the media firsthand.
Okay, so what does President Joe Biden have to say about the Maui fire? Well, reporters nearly gasped as Joe Biden ran from their questions about the rising count of Americans dead from the Maui wildfire disaster. Biden was asked about the devastating Maui fires, and he replied with no comment. Thousands displaced, 2,200 structures destroyed, 96 confirmed dead, and this number is expected to rise into the thousands. Endless billions for Ukraine, including $200 million more dollars today, but President Joe Biden doesn't even have a comment for Maui. Joe Biden spent the weekend at the beach, while Kamala Harris spent it in Martha's Vineyard.
Mr. President, are you going to take questions on Maui?
Can you come talk about Maui? Can you come talk about Maui, Mr. President?
Another disturbing video circulated showing the withholding of pallets of donations to Maui fire victims.
The government withholding every single one of our donations because we are not a part of FEMA and Red Cross. So none of this is eligible for giving out. Tell me why. I have no freaking clue.
There will be plenty more updates to come, but in the meantime, which theory do you personally believe?
Alrighty, we are back, and it was an interesting thing. I will say Biden has since came out today, and finally he came out today, and he did comment on it and, you know, said the things he was supposed to say. But there were some things happening. First of all, I know they say, well, the warning system didn't sound because people are told to go uphill. Well, you know, and so that's why we didn't. I don't buy that at all. Now, here they had the fellow that was in charge of releasing the water to fight the fire. He held back. He didn't release the water. He called it water equity. And so that he would not give any water to the firemen, okay? And then you had tons of food, medical supplies, water, things sitting there for the people that were homeless, and they wouldn't let them have it, okay? They wouldn't let the people have it. And then here, again, here's the things that, why you know that they had to be laser weapons and microwave weapons out there, is you watched the ships. Now, none of the big yachts that belonged to the movie stars got caught on fire, but the regular ships out there, boats, out there, way out on the sea, one by one, they burst into flames. Now, you know, there's something very strange about that, wasn't it? And then to watch this perfect circle around Maui, you can see that was started. It's all there in films. So what do you think? What do you have to say about all that?
God has mercy on all of us. Holy cow. It's not surprising, I guess, because so much of this has been in the works for many, many years. And they do get to the point where they feel that they're they're above and beyond everybody else, and nobody else really matters. It's all that power and control kind of thing again, you know, to put people into the 15-minute cities, and it's more of the same. And I know people will say, oh, that's conspiracy. But, you know, if you look over the last 3 or 4 years in particular, I mean, almost everything that was looked at as a conspiracy theory came to pass within 6 or 8 months. And so, you know, there's just so much crazy spiritually depleted avenues that are being followed to come to the conclusions that that these globalists and the World Economic Forum and all of these people want to do the full reset. I mean, you just see it all the time. I mean, and they've got videos of all of those things. You can hear them in their meetings using the same language over and over. People, oh, I saw that the governor of Hawaii was at one of the big, you know, international meetings, you know, working with all of those people as well. And it's just heartbreaking to think that individual lives are not given respect that they deserve to have because they're human beings.
Yeah, he was, you know, this coincidentally, he was at a FEMA meeting.
No value. Yes, I did see that too. Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing. So this is exactly the days the Bible describes the days we're living in very, very clearly. I mean, you couldn't get any clearer. And you see this, it's called the times of sorrows or the evil day. But this means, again, if you take a look back through history, God is immutable. He does things the very same way, the very same way. All of these things are coming into as they were the days before the flood, where you had these satanic beings wanting to take over. They wanted to change the DNA. That's what they were doing with people, exactly the things that they're doing today. And so the imminent return of the Lord is very, very near. And people, so the folks out there listening, they've got two options. They can run to the battle. They can run to the battle and place up crowns in heaven. This is what the Lord says. Now, they're going to die anyhow, or they could try to stay in that comfort zone and not run to the battle. And just try to stay comfortable as they can and hope that they'll be taken up in the rapture. And for people that want to do that, if I were you, I would make your salvation sure. Because if you're saved and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to run to this fight. You're going to want to glorify God with the works done in your body as he tells you. You're going to want to honor and glorify him. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. If you just want to kind of lay low and stay comfortable, I would really, really doubt your salvation, believe me. But anyhow.
Well, and you know where this is in Scripture. I don't know where to find it, Pastor Ernie, but I do know that, you know, we're told to occupy until he returns. And occupy is a military term. It doesn't mean sit on your behind and just occupy your seat and wait for it to happen. It means go forth. Take over.
Yeah, as absolutely.
Best you can until the end day.
Well, he gives you the three charges. The first mission is the Great Commission. The Great Commission, first and foremost. The second, from Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is disobedience. And then what you're talking about in 2 Thessalonians 2, he tells you that we are to hold to the tradition of the apostles, stand fast, and not give up our ground. Occupy till he comes. And so, those are our three missions that the Lord has given us, and there's no stuttering there. We're coming to a break, and we'll be, Linda, I know you're not used to staying up this late,
and it's always a pleasure. You make my day.
Well, we'd love to have you stay with us, but I know you're probably tired. But
that's okay. I'm good.
Well, if you want to stay with us, that's great. Right, Joe?
Right.
Believe me.
Sure. Once I finally get here, you know, I keep trying to get on, and I've just been tied up so much. So I'm happy to be on, and I'll just stick around until you close up shop. That's okay with you.
All righty. Yep. Well, we'll be back right after this. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. To me out there across the country and across the world, you've been blessed by the Lord too. The very fact that you're able to hear, right? Anyhow, we're going to open the phone lines nationwide from coast to coast at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. If you have any questions or comments, if you're for Linda Tice or Pastor Joe or myself, give us a call. 888-677-9673. All right. Independence data shows dozens of power grid malfunctions at the very start of the Maui wildfires. could the utility smart meters have played a role? There you go. They were very, very easy to manipulate the power grids, and the power grids where the electricity stayed on and continued to, when they should have gone down, continued to add to the fires. And so, there you go. What do you? I wanted to say this very quickly. Greg Laurie, I like Greg Laurie, and he says we're in a battle over the soul of America, and that's true. But I disagree with what he said here. Christian leaders gather ahead of a prayer vigil to mark the second-year anniversary. It's a picture there to show you of the violent insurrection by supporters of President Donald Trump. Greg, I got news for you, my friend. It wasn't, Greg, listen, I got news for you. It wasn't, the violent insurrection was not, it was a false flag, and it was not by the Trump supporters. It was by the Communist Party, by the Communist, Antichrist, Communist Democratic Party, Greg. So you really need to get ahead of that. So let's go to Minnesota. And we've got Vince out there in Minnesota. Vince, you're in the air.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call here. Your guest on that line said that God made man and woman in his own image. I don't agree with that. I believe the Bible is quite clear that man is made in the image of God, woman for the glory of man.
Well,
I agree.
That's true, but also it does say he made him, he and she in God's image. So it actually says both. You're actually both right on that if you
all right.
Go to Genesis chapter 1, or not chapter okay. 1, chapter 2.
All right. I am very impressed that you believe that the sun was stopped. You were preaching on how God stopped the sun. I have a lot of theologians and pastors. When I ask them, do you believe God stopped the sun? And they say, well, God stopped the earth, so it acted as if the sun stopped. And the Bible doesn't say that. God stopped the sun.
Yeah, that's exactly what it says.
Yep.
So, you know, NASA and our science really wants to disprove the Bible. And they've been working on it for a long, long time.
Let me read you. I wanted to read you one verse very quickly here. That verse Genesis chapter 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So you're both right, but he created woman in the image of man, but then he created man and woman in his own image. So
okay, but don't you associate a woman being in a shape of a dove with nice breasts, nice tail?
I never thought
the woman is more related to the Holy Spirit being in more of a shape of a dove.
Well, I know they're sure a lot prettier than we are, but
and more gentler. I would say God the Father. In God the Holy Spirit, I would think that the God the Holy Spirit is 100% gentle, where God the Father is sometimes not gentle.
Well, there's a teaching that's been around for a while, and it's a false teaching. It's taken out of context out of Proverbs chapter 2, and where it talks about wisdom. Well, the wisdom, it was referring to the Holy Spirit, and that was the contents of the Word of God being through the Holy Spirit. But there are people that teach that the Holy Spirit is a woman, where it refers to as she has wisdom. No place in the Bible does it say that. In fact, it says the opposite. It refers to the Holy Spirit as he or him, but never a she.
In the King James, it says she.
No, it talks about wisdom. It says yes. Wisdom is she, but when it refers to the Holy Spirit himself, it refers to as he or him.
Oh,
Yeah, you're talking about John 14, John 15, and John 16.
Yeah.
Our Lord Jesus Christ in the red letter says he, and I looked that up in the Greek, and that he actually could mean also she. But in Proverbs, I believe that her actually means her. But I didn't look that up.
We don't have a Father, Mother, and Holy Ghost. We don't. And we don't have Father, Mother, and Son. Okay, so
if God the Son is God, if Jesus Christ is God, is the Son of God, well then there's got to be a mother.
No, there don't. So God has no mother.
Scripture says Jesus is the only begotten, and the word begotten means coming forth from. The physical came forth from the spiritual.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, but
well, listen, we got to move on because we don't have that much time. But listen, thanks for calling. All right, we have. Could this possibly be Clifford? Hey, Cliff, you're in there.
Olas, hi.
Hello. We're here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Two things. One. That clip you just played said the fires were on 8-8. Now, August 8th is the biggest day in China in the whole year. They say the number 8, they'll pay just to get that, like, huge amounts of money to get a license plate with the number 8. That's their biggest number in China, so I would look into that. That's very strange. The other thing is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 9 and 10. Do you relate that to James? It seems to be talking about making the people old rather than just the garments, as it does in James. What's your thoughts on that, Isaiah 50, verses 9 and 10?
Well, what you're talking about, I'm pretty familiar with it. It says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days and in the generations of old. Art thou not it? Hath now cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it with hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over? Well, first of all, when he's referring to Rahab, God's power was greatly manifest in the ancient days, especially in the days of Noah and Moses there. And what's happening here, Rahab is an enigmatic name. It doesn't refer to Rahab the harlot in Jericho, as it says, but what it refers to in Joshua 2 could be a great enemy of God. So Rahab means the boaster here. And so when you're talking about that, does it mean, what was your question again?
Yeah, that whole section, but also in verse 9, it seems to be talking about the reverse of the blessing of a restored youth. It seems like it might be the Lord is aging the people.
Well, I think he's making it pretty clear that, you know, people... Well, let's go back to verse 8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like a wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. And then if you go to verse 11, what he's talking about is this, that, you know, he's talking that we are going to be... we're going to find salvation through the Lord and sustained. He says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and the everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and in mourning shall they flee away. So, in other words, he's talking about when we leave this world and we go to the next, we're going to be there forever and ever.
Which is positive, but Rahab, could you say, like Rahab represents, is that a type?
No, there. Rahab here, the word there in the Hebrew means boaster. It means a boaster.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't refer to Rahab the harlot.
Okay, so they're boasting against the Lord, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all righty. Well, thanks. Let's go. Yeah, oh, this would be the last call because we're running out of time. Timothy, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening, all.
Good evening.
Hope all is well with everyone there, your guest and everyone else that's normally there. Just one quick thing to start off is every day it gets weirder and weirder. And
I know it does. It really does.
In the secular, and I was thinking about Mark Twain. I don't know if Mark Twain was the original one that quoted it, but the truth is stranger than fiction. Whether you're watching the pundits and the pontificators on the TV, because the art of war says you know your enemy. So I make sure every day I know who my enemy is. I flip through and at least a portion of the day I want to find out what the other ones are pontificating on, and also on the radio and the ones behind the pulpits and this, that, and the other. And there's two sources I've come to, and I'll get to a couple of the other comments and verses in the next minute and a half, is that so I've come to a conclusion that this radio station, 1220 AM, and I pick and choose what I listen to above and beyond yourself, and there's very few that hold to the King James or the AKJV. Either one, Bruce Musselman said, is either the King James or the Authorized King James. I think they're pretty close to one and the same, but not the new King James. And anything other than that is a perversion, according to Bruce. And I followed Bruce a lot, and I still listen to old podcasts. And then this radio show and a King James Bible. I mean, those. If you need to get truth, I would start with those two things. And if you have to deal with the secular, you got Roget's Thesaurus, and then you have Webster's Dictionary, the old Webster Dictionary from the 1800s. Other than that, today you don't know what words are going to be in there. And they're always changing the words, taking out the good ones and putting in the ones that are not so good. So I just stick with this word because this word has never changed, it's never going to change, and it's a living word, and all the other stuff are dead words. So this one's okay with me, and I found Proverbs 16 again today. And if you read Proverbs 16 from verse 1 all the way to the end, especially when you get to number 4, the second half of number 4, even the wicked for the day of evil, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Yee. The day of evil. So they can do what they want. They can make their plans, and God chuckles. And when he has the last say, it also says that in the word about it. There's many, many verses about the last say. Ecclesiastes and various other ones where he's going to have enough of this. And either the rapture's coming and all the other things that were coming. It's not an if, it's a when. So
you got it. Timmy, I'm running out of time. How much time do I have, Kyle?
Keep your wick trimmed, keep your bags packed, and do those three charges, and I think you're going to be sanctified.
You're right. How much time do I have, Kyle? Hey, Kyle. 6, okay, very good. You've got about 5 minutes now. So, Joe, can you give an invitation, tell folks how to get to heaven and how to avoid hell, and you've got 5 minutes now to do that.
All right. Well, to start, there is only one way. It's not through what the world calls religion. We born-again believers have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The world has all kinds of religions. Christianity is a personal relationship where, through a process that God describes, you become part of the family of God. You become a child of the kingdom, a son or daughter. So the only way, you're not going to get there through a church, a denomination, good works, you know, good living, anything like that. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to God unless you go through his son, Jesus. And John 3:3 tells us, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we'll explain a little more of that. Now, the big thing that you have to understand is you have to be convicted that you are a sinner, whether you want to admit it or not. Oh, I've never done this. I've never killed anybody, but Romans 5:12, whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've sinned by what? Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and more than that, we've sinned by the things that we didn't do that God specifically told us to go do. He gives all his words by our actions.
Okay, hold on 1 minute. Kyle. Okay, yeah, she had. All right, go ahead.
Our action verbs were to witness, testify, rebuke, reprove. There's a whole list I could go on for quite a while. So we have to admit we're a sinner. And God said, what? Well, the wages of sin are death. John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God has to punish sin. Then, but God has made a way for us. He's given us a gift of eternal life, a free gift. He's given us a way to become children of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's in Romans 6:23. And in John 3:16 and 17, what? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through Jesus, through him, might be saved. And to get eternal life, well, Romans 10:9-13 tells us, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, there's more there, but the point is we have to pray to the Father. And in our prayer, we have to have a heartfelt feeling of repentance. We have to be truly sorry that it was our sins that put Jesus on that cross at Calvary. You see, if there had only been one person that would accept his offer of eternal life and forgiveness, he still would have gone to the cross. But he died for all the world, all of those who would receive him. So we have to...
1 minute, Joe. You have 1 minute left. Go ahead.
Then we can, after we've done that, ask the Father, then we can call upon Jesus to be Lord of our life, all of our life. But we have to do it without reservation, without hesitation. We have to be willing to give ourselves to him. And then he... we'll send the Holy Spirit. That's the down payment on everlasting life. We've then become our own high priest, our own temple. We have the indwelling of the living God through the Holy Spirit in us. We become that new creation, that new creature. We become a child of the kingdom, a son or daughter of the living God. That's why I say we have a relationship, not a religion. And then we have the gift of salvation. This is what you must do. Repent, call upon the Lord, ask him to be the Lord of your life, and do it now, because, like the gentleman...
you don't want to run out of tomorrow's tonight, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to thank... we want to thank you, Linda, for being here with us tonight, and we got to get you back right away. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. Say good night. We want to say...
good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always,
always
keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.